Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the living God from whom all blessings flow. Tonight's the night that Brother Willie Hunter's back once again. I want to call and say thank you for being on the radio with me. And I want to say to God be glory. To God be the glory. There's no God like our God. The more we press in, the more God shows us that we can. Tonight's the night that I just say thank the Lord, because I've invited one of my pastor friends on tonight, a man that I have a lot of respect for. I watched him. He can preach, he can teach, he can sing, and he can move by the Holy Spirit. And I just want to thank him. He's coming on with me later on. But before he gets ready to hit the air, I would ask you one thing. Yield with me in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. We ask you to look upon us and see if there's anything that will cause us not to come before you. Any sins we committed, knowingly or unknowingly, anything we said or done, we ask you in the name of Jesus to forgive us of all of our sins and to hide us. Hide us behind your blood, that when we appear before the Father, we can only seek it, only see the righteousness that's in us. I want to thank you for everyone. I don't thank you for husbands, for wives, brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, nephews, etc. But more, Father, I want to thank you for Israel. I want to thank you for keeping a watch on Israel in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Thank you this day in the name of Jesus. For I know that all is well because you said in your word that you will bless us and keep us. And then, Holy Father, as I call on your name tonight, I ask you to look upon us and have mercy upon us. Let the fullness of your glory descend down upon us and teach us to be loved with one another. I want to thank you for all that's calling the line. Those who are on the phone, bless and keep. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I invited a pastor friend of mine from Beaumont. I always say from Beaumont, Texas. Are you there, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
All right. We got you going around the world.
What you say?
What
that's
you
good
say?
News.
Amen. That's good news. How you doing so far?
Man, I'm blessed, and I'm grateful to be here.
Amen. Amen. Well, give me some good news to move forward into. Give me some good news. What has the Lord laid on your heart lately?
Well, I'm just blessed to be his child. Is to God be the glory, and Jesus is the center of my life. And
amen.
Everywhere I go, I like to let my light shine and be a witness for him.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's
amen. What it's all about.
That's what it's all about. Well, I was telling the people before I was introducing you, I was telling the people, listen, that he's a pastor, he's a teacher, he's a songster, he knows the word and he teaches it. But I want to just come into you close to you. Tell us what we can do for the next hour. As a pastor, what shall we do at the next hour?
Okay, as pastors, we should focus on prayer, and we should focus on being holy ghost driven, especially in these last times in which we live in.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be Holy Spirit driven and governed and controlled by the Spirit, and
mm-hmm.
we have to stay prayerful and stay mm-hmm. in his word.
Mm-hmm.
Because okay. that's the only way out, and it's the only way in.
Amen. Well, you know, I say this because I know you got a lot of, and I was looking at your brother's car the other day, and I was thinking about him. And I said to myself, I said, I do so much research until sometimes I get bogged down with a lot of paper in my office. But one of the things that, we talk about it, a lot of people have asked a lot of questions on the radio station about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And a question came up. A lady sent me an email, and here's what she sent me. And she said, "You will be amazed how many so-called Christians are seen doing great works for the Lord and have little knowledge of God's word." Now that's awesome, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
They have great words, but they have a little knowledge of God's word. How can we help them, Pastor?
You said they are doing a great work, yet and still they have little knowledge.
Okay,
let me get the right understanding.
Okay, let me read it. This was sent to me. It said, "You will be amazed at how many so-called Christians are seen doing great works for the Lord and have very little knowledge of God's word." They're doing great works, but they got very little knowledge of God's word.
Okay, well, look like that's a contradictory statement, because, you know, people perish for lack of
knowledge.
And see, the more knowledge that we acquire and have of God's word, the more effective and the greater work that we can do.
Now you're preaching, Pastor.
Yeah, because, see, you can't teach what you don't know.
Oh.
And knowledge comes by studying. The word tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So in order to be an effective worker in a big and great worker for the Lord, you have to know his word, because we are learners of Christ.
Amen. Well, I tell you, Pastor, let's see, another one came in. It said, you will be saddened when you learn that many pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, apostles can quote scriptures but do not know how to apply it to everyday life. Dealing with people is a ministry. I know that dealing with people is a ministry. I hear what the person sent me this email, and they're asking many questions. See, some people, Pastor, they don't want to know.
Am I right or wrong? You're correct.
And the more you stand there and preach and teach the word to them, some people can be looking out of one ear and looking out another one, not hearing or seeing the word you're saying.
Right.
Amen.
That's right. And we living in an era now where people have eyes and can't see, and ears and can't hear.
Yeah.
And we living in those times. And everybody's not going to receive the word of God. You know, and what I like about God, he don't force his word upon anyone.
No, he never does.
You know, he knocks. And if anybody open up, he'll come in.
He's not
going to force himself on you. And a lot of people, and I think a lot of people, you know, especially men and women of God, have to focus on that. We're not going to win everybody. That sits under us and sits under our teaching as well as our preaching. But if we can just help just one,
Tell it, Pastor.
If we can just help one, it's worth it all. And Brother Hunter, I believe that when people come and sit under us to hear the word being taught and preached, a lot of people come in dark. And it's up to us to cut on the light.
Oh, praise God. Praise God. Man, you're teaching. You're teaching, brother. You're preaching.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, sir. Because there are a lot of people that come to church don't have a bone dry idea why they there.
Right.
They can look and say, oh, that's the pastor? Yeah, that's the pastor. Oh, I know this much, pastor. Everything that God has done thus far has brought you and I from a mighty long way.
Yes, he has.
I remember when we first met each other, and now God had us right now, right in the big, 6 million people in Houston.
Right.
And my prayer to God is, I said, Father, 1/10 of those people need to belong to the church that where we believe. We believe in the fullness.
Right.
We believe that people need to be saved. The light needs to come out of their ways. We just believe what the Bible says, especially the more we go into the Bible, you and I as teachers and preachers, the more we get involved in the Word of God, the more the Word of God consumes us so we can reveal what he wants to tell his people.
Right. That's exactly Amen. Right.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
We got some people on the background. Some people listen, but every so often they'll send me a text and say something. But I know this much. Now, what is God doing in your ministry right now? Tell us where you're located at, what time your service is, and what you're doing. Let's let the world know what the Lord is doing for you.
Okay, I am the pastor of the New Hope Baptist Church of Goodrich, Texas. And I'm Pastor Paul High, and I've been the pastor there for 22 and a half years. And we are a Christ-centered church, and we are a Holy Spirit-driven church.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a fellowship that do love the Lord and love to be guided by his Spirit, because it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord.
Amen.
And,
Amen.
And we'll try to be a light in this dark time and era in which we live in, because we are light as well as salt.
Mm-hmm.
And our focus on being the salt, because we're living in a world in a society that's headed for decay.
Yes.
But as long as believers are in the world to be that salt, there is still hope.
But once
the salt has lost its savor,
mm-hmm.
it is good for nothing but to be cast down and trodden under the foot of men. So I try to implement and share with all believers, whatever you do, don't lose the favor.
There you go. Well, you know, we know that you're in Goodrich, Texas, and we know you're the pastor. Now, what time do your services start, and what particular day do you have services?
Okay, we have morning service at 11, mm-hmm. and we have prayer meeting on Wednesday nights, mm-hmm. at 7 o'clock.
My God.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? You're going around the world right now. And don't you know this is blessing me? This is blessing me, my brother. I have desired much to have you on this phone with me,
yes,
going
yes.
around the world. See, this isn't AM or FM. This is a blog. The wave is larger than the FM and AM. That's why they can't stop what God has and God is having done.
Amen.
And see, some even over there in Egypt right now, where they're raising all that hell, where Hamas is raising all that hell. Well, let me ask you this. Have you been watching the news here lately?
Yes and no. I watch it in bits and pieces
because when I
study the Word of God and walk outside my door, you know, to me that's news.
But today I had to go get some things checked up, and one of the things I began to see, and I said, The Bible says to you and I, in the book of Psalm 121, I will lift my eyes to the hill, whence comes my help. My help that comes from the Lord. He that will never sleep nor slumber. For he that keepeth Israel will never slumber nor sleep. So I'm looking at this from a prophetic understanding as well as a prophecy that God has made down to the ages. And here we are in America, Gentiles, by coming through the covenant of Abraham, because the gospel was preached to him. We are the same as they are. We are Israelites, but we are spiritually level like Israelites.
Okay, that's right. Amen, my brother.
And after I was trying to tell a man one day, another some more, I said, listen, don't get upset on those physical, because Jesus came and told us in the book of Hebrews, he tore down the wall.
Yes, sir.
We are one.
Yes,
so
sir.
So we have to pray. We have to pray for them, because Jesus said also in the book of Psalm, he said, before Israel destroyed, the world would not even exist. I said, wow.
Wow.
Well, that's like people come to your church and tell you, we're taking over the pastor. That's a hogwash. That's hogwash. Excuse the expression, pastor.
That's right. I believe what the words say, and the word is not going to go out void.
Oh, no.
No, you know, if the word said it, and the word validates it, I believe it, and you can stand on it.
Well, I tell you what I'm going to do, pastor, between me and you and the Lord. Whatever night you decide you want to come on, I want to bring you on and give you your own free 30 minutes. That's my gift to you.
All right. Well, I appreciate it, Brother Hunter, and just being with you this evening have been a gift that's more precious than rubies. Your timing was perfect. Yes, sir.
Well, I tell you this much. We still got time. I got 3 hours on there. I got another person coming on at 8:30, but I want to tell you, because I have been praying, believing, trying to get in contact. Well, I finally got you. I said, here's my brother from Beaumont, from Beaumont.
Yeah, we've been called worse than that. Yeah, so I mean, that's an honor. Beaumont, Balmount. Yeah, but you know the history of them Beaumont boys used to be tough in football.
I remember. I don't even want to talk about them because they were dangerous for that time.
But anyway, Brother Hunter, I know that you are aware that you're talking to a miracle, because you know it was just a couple of years ago I was at the threshold of death.
I was there. I was there, my brother.
Yeah, I was on life support for 30 days, and
30 days.
I was in a coma for 15 days.
My God, pray for you.
While I was in the coma, the devil, he never gives up on soul. He came to me in the coma, and he tried to make me denounce Jesus. But I told him he was a lie. Could nothing separate me from Jesus Christ. And so what he did in this coma, he tied me up with a chain. I couldn't think of a song to sing. I couldn't think of a sermon to preach. All I could think of, just call on the name Jesus. So I started saying, Jesus, Jesus. And the chain popped. And the devil backed off. He said, now you won, I can't have. And after the chain popped, that's when I came out the coma and off life support. And the Lord winked at me and touched me with his healing hand of mercy.
Oh, Jesus.
And I picked up my bed and started walking. And the doctors couldn't understand it. Nobody could understand it. I said, I told y'all was going to see a miracle. I said, I told that doctor that the God I serve, he's more than a doctor, because doctors, they practice medicine, but the God I serve, he's a healer.
He's a healer.
He don't have to practice medicine. He heals.
He heals.
So, brother, that's part of my testimony. I just have to share that with the world. He is a healer.
One thing I want to know is this. I want to tell you, if you want to download it, you want to listen to it, all you got to do is come on the Blog Talk Radio, go to that particular section, day and time, you'll see it right there. You can download it.
All right, sir. We'll
do. We ain't through yet. Let's talk about them good wounds we got, our good wives we got.
Yes, sir. Well, I know that the Lord have blessed me with a godly wife.
Uh-huh.
She's a woman of God that's full of the Holy Spirit, and
I know it, brother.
And she's a student of the Word of God.
Yes, brother. When I met her, she knows the Word.
Yes, Lord.
Yes. See, my wife.
And the Lord is using her in a mighty way.
See that?
And I thank God for him giving me a gift. You know, every good and perfect gift comes from above.
From above. And, amen.
And when a man have a good helpmate, that's a gift.
That's a gift.
You know,
they can see behind you, see around you. When you came, you're busy doing something else.
Right. And we've been together for 34 years.
My God Almighty!
And I think that's mighty good for a young couple.
I know that's right, my brother.
And I just thank God for her. Her mouth have fell on her grandchildren and her
my
children,
God.
And she's a woman that believes in teaching her grandchildren about
Amen.
Jesus. And about
Amen.
The power of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you what. I thank God, but I just got to tell you this, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
August the 3rd?
Yes.
1968.
Yes, sir.
Got married to my wife.
We celebrated
this past Sunday, 46 years.
Ooh, amen. What a blessing. Ooh, what a blessing.
I said, had not been nobody but God kept his hand on us. Because we had our own idealistic attitude. We saw things we wanted to see him, but until we come to know the Lord, we submitted and committed to do what God wanted done.
Yes, yes. That's
and
a blessing.
I say, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord. Yes,
hallelujah.
Lord. Yeah,
then,
praise the Lord.
Amen. And I just thank God. And I know because I can still see your wife. Your wife is a quiet, but she's a prayer warrior.
Yes, she is. Yes, sir. Yes,
and,
sir.
And I know when the enemy came in to attack you, she called and went in prayer. It looked like she had a big, it looked like she had the sword of righteousness, and she was throwing it. And the moon in front of her. And every time the enemy comes, she's cook a slice at him. I said, this woman, I said, I'm going to get on her cycle. This woman is dangerous. I be done got touched by the anointing she's putting out here.
she a tough girl, I tell you.
Yes, she is indeed. Yes,
Lord.
Well, I tell you, tonight has been a blessed night for you and I both.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see each other, but we sit in our own places right now.
Right.
And this is what I prayed about. And the devil told me, you ain't going to have no radio station. I see ain't nothing but a snaggletooth liar.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And let me call you back. I'm on the phone. I'll call you right back, okay? You know, I just bought this new phone. I don't even know how this thing operates. It got a strange sound to it.
Yes, it have unusual sound.
It sounds like it's a roach. It sounds like a roach coming through the house.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to leave the last 5 minutes. I'm going to give it to you to speak to the people.
All right, my word to the people is stay close to the Lord, stay prayerful, and stay in His word, and live a holy and righteous life.
You still got time, brother. You still got time.
All right. Well, you know, sometimes it ain't how long you make it, but it's how you make it long. But anyway, I'll say that again. You know, in these last days, I would like to admonish and encourage everybody to stay prayerful, because in these times in which we live in, prayer is a strong avenue. And prayer keeps us connected with the Father. And prayer gives us power. And prayer is not just a monologue with the Lord, but it's a dialogue, because he still hears and answers our prayer.
Yes.
And so it's not just us telling him what we want, but it's letting him speak back to us.
Amen. And
not only that, in the next 4 minutes, but I want to encourage everybody to study His word and rightly divide it. Don't use His word out of context like so many people are doing today.
Amen.
They take the word out of context to twist it to prove their own selfish points and ideologies. But the word of God is just one truth, and this is by Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Amen.
And number three, don't leave the Holy Spirit out, because the Holy Spirit is a teacher, the Holy Spirit is a guide, the Holy Spirit is a comforter, the Holy Spirit is the indwelling of Christ in us. And I think that's one thing that's lacking in the modern day assemblies is the governing of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, preachers are teaching like never before. They are preaching like never before. They have budgets like never before. But it's one thing the church is lacking now, and that's the power of the Holy Ghost.
God bless you. Woo! Hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. And may God bless you, Brother Hunter, and may He forever keep you, and may He throw His loving arms all around you and keep you in His care. May He give you more wisdom and more knowledge and more understanding of His word.
The same with you. I want you to hang on the line, because in about 2 minutes, there's a lady going coming on from New Jersey, and
all
I
right,
want to tell you how I met her. She's a major. She's in the military. And in the month of February, it was cold.
Uh-huh.
And she was on the line. And I left on the blog, I left something. And she called me back. It was cold. Uh-huh. And she said, I'm looking for a man of God.
Uh-huh.
And I said, she says, I'm looking for a man of God. Before I knew that, I said, I am a man of God. And she began to tell me what was going on. God kept me with that lady for the whole week, going back from Texarkana to New Jersey. And it was cold in the month of February. Ice and snow and everything. And God would not let me see, but God kept me. But on the last day, she called and told me, she says, I made it home. God kept us. I said,
amen.
God bless you. And you know what, Pastor? The next
thing I know,
I went in. I was sitting on the bed. I fell asleep for 6 straight hours.
Amen. What you say?
I woke up and I said, I asked my wife, I said, baby, what happened? She said, I don't know. So you were talking to somebody. And next thing she said, next thing I know, you're gone on off to sleep. But I say, when we obey God,
Yes.
God can use us.
Yes, he can. Yes, he can.
You see, I've invited a lot of pastors on the radio station, but you're the first one to come on the radio station with me.
Yes. Yes.
And be transparent. You don't have nothing to hide.
No, sir.
It's honest.
No, sir.
You're point on top of point. Point on top of point. Point on top of point. And I love that. And that's what I'm seeking, more of the body of Christ to become more cohesive, more lovable, more understanding, doing what God's telling me to do and obeying God. And here she is right now. So hold on. Don't leave her.
All right.
Amen. And God has been so good. Amen. Yes. Hello, Tanya. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you, Dr. Tanya?
I'm doing okay. I want you to introduce a friend of mine who's a pastor. He's on the line. Pastor, will you introduce yourself to her? She's from New Jersey. Her name is... Go ahead.
Okay, I'm Pastor Paul, as a pastor. H-I-G-H. And I'm from Houston, Texas, and I'm a pastor of a church in a little town called Goodrich, Texas. And I'm just happy to be among the body of Christ.
Amen. Good to meet you, Pastor.
Pleased to meet you, too.
Amen. You got a word for us tonight? Hang on, brother. You got a word for us tonight?
Yes, I do. I have a word from the Lord. And first, I just want to give him the glory. Father, we come boldly to your throne of grace, just thanking you and praising you for this time. And we say, Father, our desire is that it be all of you and none of us. Father, speak through my heart, think through my mind, speak through my mouth. And Father, just open up our eyes of understanding that we may receive the word that you have for us right now, word in due season. We bind every work of the enemy, and we thank you, Lord God, for the power to bind that work and to loose all the power of heaven. And we praise you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 The scripture is 1 John 2:15 through 17.
Mm-hmm.
And if you all don't mind, I want to read a few versions of this. And I'll start out with the King James Version of it. This is 1 John 15 through 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That was the King James Version. This is the Amplified Version. Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or the stability of earthly things, these do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. And the world passes away and disappears. And with it, the forbidden craving, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides, remains forever. That was the Amplified Version. This is the Message Version of this scripture, 1 John 2:15 through 17. Don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. That was the Message version. And
amen.
This is the New Living Translation version. And you all have to excuse me. I get so much from going from these different versions because, you know, the King James Version is how they spoke in 16th century Elizabethan. I get more out of it by going through different versions because it expands the same idea. It's still the same idea, if you all have heard what I read.
Mm-hmm.
This is the New Living Translation. Do not love this world, nor the things that it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You know, we are in this world,
mm-hmm.
but the Word of God is speaking to us to not love the world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we look at what this is saying to us tonight, is, you know, the world, the Greek of it is cosmos, and it often refers to the vast systems of this age, you know, that Satan promotes, that exists outside, it exists independent of God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can see these world systems in a lot of the, in a lot of the areas that we have to deal with on a daily basis. You know, we have to deal with this, with the government, with the cultures, with the education, science, art, medicine, music, all these systems we have to deal with. But we don't have to be engulfed by them. We don't have to participate in them to the point where we are in love with them. And, you know, that's what this scripture is telling us, you know. You know, we cannot get so involved with the things of this world that it's, we allow it to pull us away from God. You know, even though we are in this world, it's, for example, you know, the medical profession promotes killing unborn babies, abortion. Well, that's not something that we participate in as Christians.
In
the agriculture systems, you see that they produce tobacco, nicotine, alcohol. Well, that's not something we participate in as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the education system, they promote all these ungodly and humanistic philosophies. Well, you know, my daughter, she's in the fourth grade, and they started talking about the Big Bang Theory in her classroom. And, you know, we've been in the Word of God. We study here, and she's a Christian. And
mm-hmm.
you know what she asked the teacher? She asked the teacher, she said, well, if that's true, what you're saying about this Big Bang Theory, then who made the bang? She just floored all of them right then because they couldn't answer her.
My God.
You know, we go to the Museum of Natural History up here in New York City, and you see they show these pictures of, you know, mm-hmm. of the primates walking, you know, the ape all the way up to the human. And, you know, when my kids see that, they look at me and they're like, Mama, we didn't come from an ape. I said, I know. You know, they're well acquainted with Genesis and how the earth began and all that. And that's what this is telling us about this about the world. And, you know, I thank God for this word tonight because there's so much to get us to suck us in to what's going on in this world. You know, and it's all around us everywhere we go. And, you know, you can even see the church involved in it. When we start to pull things from the world to try to attract people, we're going in the wrong direction. I mean, we should be having church like they did in the book of Acts. You know, we're doing a lot of things in the church to thinking that we're going to attract these people in the in the world by pulling the things of the world into the church. That's the wrong idea.
Amen.
Amen.
So it is God who gives the increase, and we are supposed to preach the gospel, not preach the world.
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes I think some of us sisters and brothers can get off track by trying to promote worldly things to draw the crowd.
Amen.
But we've got to stay our course. We got to keep our course.
Amen.
You know, we've got to keep our course away from this worldly thing. And we've got to stay the course on preaching the gospel. Because
Amen.
That is what makes people saved, born again, and on their way to eternity. It's no other way. But getting back to the subject tonight about this world, you know, as we look at it, we see like the fashion industry and how it pulls at the modesty. You know, as we're called to live, you know, you can see them advertise a handbag and everybody's naked on the billboard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it's just
off the charts here. You know,
That's
everything.
Right.
You walk by Victoria's Secret, I almost have to cover my kids' eyes. You know, it's everywhere we go. You know, it's in the mall, it's everywhere we go. But I praise God that the Word of God is our way out. It's sticking
Amen.
With the Word and sticking with the gospel. Because Satan is the God of the world and of this system.
That's right.
And once you step over in there, you're sucked in. Because we cannot serve two masters. There's no way we're going to be serving in this world system, this mammon, and God. Because
Amen.
It has a pull on our heart.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
You know, I'm kind of getting off course here a little bit. But,
that's
all right. That's exactly what it's designed for. And we see it in every system that's around us. We see it in our culture, our traditions. You know, Jesus asked them, you know, are you going to exalt the traditions over the Word of God? And that's what we do a lot of times.
Amen.
You know? And it's a call to us as individual Christians and as the body of Christ and as the
Amen.
Church to get it straight on every front, individually, as the church, as the body of Christ. We got to get this thing together. We got to stop mixing this stuff. And we see a lot of it being mixed all over, and then there we go. We're watered down Christians.
Amen.
That's what the enemy wants us to be, lukewarm.
Yes.
So just getting back on course here with this word tonight, because I wanted to hit those three pulls that this scripture talks about, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Uh-huh.
You know, these three things started out in the beginning in Genesis. And that's what the world pulls on, and that's what Satan has pulled on from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
He's pulled on it with Eve. He pulls on it with us. He pulls on it with Jesus. You know, we're not going to ever get away from those three things. And those three things, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, has everything that the world has to offer in it. But the bottom line is, we're just spending a small time down here on this earth. This is temporary. And we've got, and our action, or the way we react to these things, have an eternal impact. So that's what I wanted to take a quick look at before we summarize everything tonight. The lust of the flesh distinguishes from the eyes and the life. The lust of the flesh is subjectively the humor and appetite of indulging fleshly pleasures. And objectively, all those things that excite and inflame the pleasures of the flesh. This lust is usually called luxury. The lust of the flesh. It includes impure desires and running after sinful pleasures and sensual gratification. You know, when we take a look at that, that lust of the flesh, you know, this was the these pleasures and outward senses, this taste, smell, and touch, the desire, you know, this lust of the flesh is something that, you know, is easily caught up. And a lot of times, we don't talk about that a lot of times in the church. You know, we got a lot of, when we look at the lust of the flesh, this overeating, a lot of our activities in the church is built around this practice of overeating and promotion, you know. And that's what a lot of the saints deal with. And this is a main impact on our bodies being able to be healthy and live to do what God has called us to do. You know, a lot of the singers, the preachers, the teachers, a lot of us are overweight.
Amen.
Because of this lust of the flesh. And we promote this eating. We promote it with our activities. We promote it with going out to the buffet. I tell you what, Golden Corral is packed with church folks on Sunday.
Amen.
And the thing about it, you know, it's still not a good example. You know, it's not a good example because, you know, God called us to take care of this body. And then this is the body that is being used to preach this gospel. You know, and we have to take care of ourselves a lot better than this. You know, I just picked one of these lusts of the flesh tonight because, you know, there's a lot of them we can pick on, you know. There's plenty. You know, there's some dangerous ones, you know. And a lot of this lust of the flesh is hidden because we fail to deal with it. You know, we sit in plain sight overeating, and nobody say anything about it. You know, but they'll talk about the addict over there, or the one that's got the sexual issue going on and all that. Now, the overeating, folks really don't talk about it, and you sit there in plain sight, you know, letting your body go. And this is one of these desires of the flesh. But, you know, and like I said, you know, this has been dealt with from the beginning, from Genesis to Jesus. When Jesus, you know, that's what the enemy, what Satan approached him with. He approached him with these three areas, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Nothing has changed about our enemy. You know, in the military, we got that military intelligence. You know, you need to know about your enemy. Well, he's doing the same thing that he did from the beginning. He's doing it every day, and he does it through this world system. You know, there's nothing new under the sun here. But getting back on target, the second one is that lust of the eyes.
Amen.
The eyes, says here, are delighted with pleasure, with pleasures, riches, and rich possessions. Are craved by an extravagant eye. This is the lust of covetousness. You know, keeping up with the Joneses. You know, wanting, you know, just continue to want what you don't have and not really looking for blessings that you do have and thanking God for that. You know, this covetousness can just get out of hand, and it does on a daily basis because, you know, all these world systems are built to make you want to go after what you see other people have. And it's always molded around, you got to get something else. You got to get something else. And you know what? It never gives you any peace. You know, you continue to run after it and it never gives you any peace. You know, craving for everything you see, accumulating things. You know, they got shows that show people just hoarding things. They just, their house is so full they can't even get through the house. You know, so this is a major issue nowadays. And, you know, the internet builds all kind of fears around this hoarding. So there's a main area that he's made out of this lust of the eyes, and that's our enemy. That's what he does. He's done that from the beginning. The third one is the pride of life. And it's vain mind craves all grandeur and equipage and pomp of vainglorious life. This is ambition, you know, wanting that power. This is the thirst after honor and applause. This is in part the disease of the ear. It must be flattered with admiration and with praise. You know, this is the pride of life. You know, wanting to always be pumped up and pushed up. You know, and these things they're empty. They don't give what God has given us. He's given us eternal life, and He's given us a peace, and He's given us rest.
Amen.
But you know, these things really take away life from us. They take our peace. We can't have rest. You know, I wrote something down. We can't even get no rest. You know, when you're running behind these three areas. That's a real big echo. Let me take my.
Somebody got a Bluetooth speakerphone on.
Because we're going to get this word tonight.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus.
This world, as I said before, is built around this lust of the flesh, this lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we'll never get any peace or satisfaction with dealing in these areas. We must be yoked with the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot be yoked up with the world's evil system. That's going to pull us away every time. And when we look at this thing, you know, God values self-control, a spirit of generosity, and commitment to humble service. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, it's all against that.
Yeah.
There's no self-control.
No.
Yeah.
There's no spirit of generosity. You're trying to keep and hoard everything for yourself. There's no commitment to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. There's none of that going on. You know, so God is not in that anywhere. And, you know, I praise the Lord for this word tonight.
Amen.
Because here's the last thing I want to leave with you. And I want you to think about this. Matthew 16 and 26. You know what it says? It says, and do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?
My Lord.
Is anything worth more than your soul? That's something we really need to think about. You know, that really relaxed me this week when I think about what's going on around me and what's being said on my job, what's being said in my family and all that. You know, a lot of this stuff ain't worth losing your peace over.
Thank you.
You know why? Because you're going to thrust yourself out there into that world system for nothing. And you know what? It takes us to be aggressive to hold on to God and to hold on to peace. Those people don't have peace that are running behind the world system. Those people don't have peace that are running behind the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes. They don't have any peace. I ran behind it for years. There's no peace in that. There's no satisfaction in that. I don't care. I think I tried everything you could try 10 times, and you still couldn't find any satisfaction. You know, when we don't know Christ, we make choices as though there's no afterlife. And there is an afterlife. In reality, this life is just the introduction to eternity. How we live this brief span determines our eternal state. You know, we need to really stay focused when we go through life every day on that question. What am I going to gain if I gain this whole world and lose my soul? Is it anything worth more than my soul? What we accumulate on earth has no value in gaining eternal life. You know, I said a few sessions earlier, you know, we buried 3 folks in 1 year in my family. And, you know, we were just splitting up their stuff. They couldn't take that with them. All that earthly stuff they gained, their earthly wealth, whatever they had, it went to somebody else here. You know, and people value these earthly things that, you know, somebody wants a Bentley, somebody wants this, somebody, and they'll run and run and run until they get those things and they still didn't find any satisfaction. They want the marriage, they want the this, they want the that. And you still ain't got no satisfaction after you get it. You probably got a few more headaches. but anyway, marriage is a good thing. I'm not talking. But anyway, what I'm saying is that, you know, we really need to think about what's going on here every day and ask ourselves that question every day.
Amen.
You know, as we get involved in different situations and circumstances with our family, with our friends, our loved ones, with the body of Christ, with sisters and brothers in the body of Christ, with our churches. You know, because this thing can get competitive real quick. It can get hostile real quick. It can get, you know, to where you're trying to, you know, want your church to be like that church. And you know what? God has called us, you know, to do his purpose and will on this earth. There's no competition.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, amen. And we cannot get ourselves locked up in what the world is doing. That's not our business. Our business is God's business.
That's it. That's it.
The world and the true church are two distinct groups of people. The world is under Satan's dominion, and the church belongs exclusively to God.
Amen.
Believers must separate themselves from the world. We must separate ourselves from the world. And it doesn't say that, you know, we got to walk around with some wild music playing behind us and all that. You know, we are in the world, and that doesn't prevent us from being used by God in this world. But we do have to separate from the things of this world. You know, we shouldn't be looking like them when we make decisions about what we're going to do. Or if they tell you, you know, they just looked at your baby and something was wrong, and you just quickly make a decision, I'm going to get an abortion. No, that's not what we do, you know? You know, we have a bad day. Well, let me stop by the bar and get a few drinks. That's not what we do. We come home and pray.
Tell it.
You know? We're not of this world.
Maybe amen.
You know, you're real strange. Yeah, I'm strange. I'm a peculiar person.
You better
and I don't do things the way you do, you know. But that's the bottom line. And you know what? I thank God for this word tonight, because it's one that I probably won't be leaving soon. And, you know, I thank him for where he's taking me in this word, because it has done so much for me just this week. It has given me a lot of peace.
Amen.
Because, you know, we need to be disconnected from this world.
Amen.
You know, I'm God's property, and I operate like the Bible says, and I have the authority that the Word of God says I have.
That's
and
good.
As a believer, you know, I read something today. It said, when you believe something, you should believe it all the way. I said, yeah, that's pretty good. And you know, when I'm saying that, I know people that are believers, but when they get sick, they're not, you know, declaring by his stripes I'm healed. I'm not saying that we don't use doctors, don't get me wrong, and I'm not saying we don't use medicines. I believe that the medical profession and what doctors can do that's good is only from God. But what I'm saying is that, what is our first response?
Come on. Hi, that's good. That's good.
First response.
Because, if we are believers, are we believing? And do we know what this word is saying? Because if you're a believer, you need to be in the Word of God.
Amen.
This is your roadmap for everything. You know, it's not just, you know, go to church and throw it in the window, and it's got those you know, sun stains on your Bible, you know, where your pages have faded out.
Amen.
But, I mean, if we're believing God, because, see, you raised the flag when you said, I believe. You made yourself an enemy of the enemy. And, you know, for you not to believe him and to, you know, believe the Word of God and live by it and walk by it and decide by it, You know, the enemy's got you. He's got a foothold there if you're not operating like that. You know, and I'm not saying that, you know, we don't have these times where our faith is tried. That's something different. But we got to be believing believers.
Amen. Amen.
We got
Amen.
To believe this word, and we got to believe from the table of content to the maps.
Yes,
you know. And, you know, I just appreciate what I read today. You know, if you're going to believe something, believe it all the way.
Believe it all the way.
And I just, you know, and I just praise God for that because his word is true and it applies to everything that we deal with today. There's nothing that the word of God, doesn't have guidance on for our life. Everything we go through today, there's guidance in the word of God for it.
Amen.
Well, you know, tonight I want to thank God for our beloved sister from New Jersey and for my pastor friend tonight, but the line is still open. And I want to just say a prayer. We move to the next level. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we come tonight declaring and decreeing that you're the true and living God. And besides you, there is none. We thank you for the words we've heard from the first preacher, from Pastor Hines. We thank you for the word we heard from Sonia. We thank you for what we see on the radio station. And Father, more than anything else in this world, we want to live according to your word. Not what the world says, but what your WORD says. You say we shall live and not die. And declare the works of the Lord. I want to thank you this night for all you have done for us. And then, Holy Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I said thank you for everything that you blessed us, everyone in the fivefold ministry. You blessed them and bring them in closer. Will you teach us the word? Jesus, you said, if we desire anything, let it be known unto the Father, and the Father will answer us. But, Father, I want to thank you for the mighty word was preached tonight by both of your disciples and your preachers and ministers and the fivefold. Thank you for the moving out of it all. And tonight's the night that we say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And we thank you. We thank you, Lord. And we ask that somebody that's listening will listen to the word tonight and will find that lust is no good, love is no good of the world, and the pride of God. It's no good. Let them denounce it and look unto Jesus Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, this night, somebody's walking in America needing your help right now. Somebody in all 50 states needs help right now. From coast to coast, north and south, east and west. We ask you today, Father, tonight, brother, that you will just call us your warriors to let the world know. No one can get to the Father except they come by Jesus Christ. And Jesus, because you're still who you say you are, you're coming back of King and King. I want to thank you for what you're going to be doing. And this is the day of our life. We say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, the line is open for conversation. Amen, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
What do you think about it, Pastor Hines? What
do
you think about it,
Pastor? Oh, this woman of God brought a message, a powerful word, and I was listening intently, and I want to let her know that that's the type of word that we need in these times, because the Christian is warned to love not the world, neither the things of the world. And friendship of the world is enmity with God.
Yes.
So I could attest to what she was saying. You know, we can't love the world and God. See, you can't walk with God and run with the devil. It don't work. See, the world is too much with us. You know, and the world passes away. And the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever.
And see,
you got to watch the world, like she said, because they have a different purpose and a plan. See, the world will promise you liberty and then turn around and give slavery.
Yeah.
You know, the world will steal and rob from you. You know, it's like a burglar, the world system. And we as the body of Christ, we must not conform to the world.
No.
Be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Amen. Hallelujah.
She got me wanting to preach for real, isn't it? I really want to get a loose. Hannah, you tell them now I'm just an old country Southern gospel preacher. You know, when I hear preaching like that, it makes me want to preach.
Well, come on.
You be like that mule be pawing. You be down there pawing out. You better run.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Well, this has been a blessing. There's a lady that I met 4 years ago who's been a beloved of the Lord. Her name is Shonda. She's a prophetess. And let's give a word to her. To her. Amen.
Amen. Good evening. I as well enjoyed the teaching on tonight. And I tell you one thing, just like Jesus, when he was tempted in all these three areas, it was a word, God said, for it's written, that man should not live by bread alone, but every word is received out of the mouth of God. And then he said, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God with all that you have. Perfect. So God has given us tools to fight the enemy. See, we can't make any more excuses. Here's why. We're still lusting after the flesh and so forth and so on and after this world stuff where we know that God has given us tools to fight off the enemy. Matter of fact, he's already defeated the enemy for us. And greater is he that's in us than he is in the world. We make too many excuses. We compromise too much because of the way man have taught us and not getting the word and getting the word for ourselves and allow God to give us a revelation. But what I love is that Elijah in 1 Kings 18, he asked the people, he says, how long will y'all dwell between two opinions? If the Lord be thy God, then follow him. But if Baal be there, follow him. It's time to tell the people the truth. You know, we can no longer wait to sugarcoat. If you love me, and that's what he told Peter, if you love me, then you will feed my sheep. You will tell them the truth, and you can't sugarcoat the word of God. You got to give it to them just like the enemy. See, he done turn up the heat. His little imps can't get you by themselves no more. So guess what? He's out roaring, seeking who he can devour. And that's what the world do. I used to tell my children when I was raising them, I said, the world will chew you up, spit you out, and watch you run down the gutter. And that has not changed. The world will still chew you up, spit you out, and watch you run down the gutter. We cannot afford to allow our loved ones. See, if we really love them, if we really love God's people, he says, I give an apple, I give a shepherd out of my own heart. Where is the heart of love felt of God in churches these days? Why are so many compromising the word of God? If you don't know how to preach the word of God, just read it. And let God's word capture and go and send it out so it can return to them not forward. And that's what we need to do. If we don't know how to preach and teach God's word, read his word. Sit down until you get a revelation, until you get an understanding, because the blood's going to be on our hands if we don't tell God, if we don't tell his people the truth.
My God.
What does dark have to do? What does light have to do with dark except to go to pull dark out of those dark places? That's the only reason why light and dark should be entertaining one another. Let me pull you out. Don't get caught up in darkness. Because the people want to build their kingdom birthday, their kingdom and not God's kingdom. That's why they're compromising with the world. Okay, let's bring the world in the church. No, the world is the church is a sanctuary. The church is a refuge. The church is a healing place. A church is a place that people should be able to come to and be free.
Amen.
Enough is enough. And that's why God said judgment shall begin in my house.
Amen. Amen.
He's shutting down. He's shutting it down and he's bringing order. This is a warning. This is a warning to the people of God. Get your house in order before I shut it down.
Amen.
You don't want to dwell between two opinions.
My God.
I bless the Lord for that word.
Amen.
Love is the key to unlock many doors.
It will. It will. Amen. Well, tonight I want to thank Pastor Hines. I want to thank Sonia. I want to thank the prophets for being on the air tonight. And I believe there are many people that are behind the lines. They listen, but they won't come on and raise a question. But I will say tonight to you that was been tonight, let's do this again next Monday night if you're willing. But I want to say this to everybody that's listening, because from the 28th to 29th, we're going to have Sonia. She's coming to Houston to preach the gospel. And we've already got it started. We've got emails going out. We've got a group of people. And we're planning on having her and Sonia Georgia State come on in, because the time is right for the body of Christ in Houston. We got 6 million people here, and I say I'm begging. We need some help. Come over and help us. Come over and help us, because it is up to the believer, along with other believers, to let the enemy know he's lost his right. And I want to thank you for listening tonight, and may God keep y'all and may he be with y'all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to go to put on a tape that I have and let everybody want to listen to it. And just remember what I said. I love you. I love you. I love you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. So until the next time, God bless you and keep you.
This is Pastor Paul. It's such a joy to be able to fellowship with you by means of this special generational prayer. And I know that as we release the blessing, as we release the anointing, and as we come against the generational curses and those things that Satan has tried to represent in your life as that which will always be a hindrance, whether it is a spiritual legacy or a physical legacy or an emotional legacy that has been passed down from generation to generation, I want you to know that the Spirit of God is about to move in an awesome way, that there is about to be a release of God's delivering power, and that there is about to be a release of covenant anointing into your life. And as we prepare to pray right now, I want you to open your heart, and I want you to allow the Spirit of the Lord, just allow the Spirit of God to flood your life, to penetrate every area of your soul that the enemy has tried to bring the curse and has tried to bring the bondage to. And I know that as we pray and agree together, you're going to feel that release in your spirit. You're going to feel strongholds beginning to come down. You're going to feel an anointing begin to fill those areas of your life where there has been lack and where there has been dysfunction. I want you to get ready to receive. We're just going to create an atmosphere of worship and praise right now. So open your heart. Prepare to receive the generational blessing. Above every name, the name of Jesus, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I come to you now, knowing that in your name there is power, knowing that in your name there is deliverance, knowing that in your name there is freedom. I bring to you now every generational curse and every generational pattern of dysfunction and behavior that the enemy has tried to perpetuate through family bloodline. I bind the hand of the enemy and I curse them back to hell. And I decree that there will be a release of God's healing power, of God's delivering power. Heavenly Father, first of all, I come before you asking that physical legacies be broken. God, that infirmity that has passed through families, health problems that have run in generations, I decree now that there will be a release of generational blessing for healing. I come against high blood pressure. I come against glaucoma. I come against sugar diabetes. I come against strokes. I come against lupus. I come against sickle cell. I come against Parkinson's disease. I come against Alzheimer's. I come against every inherited, every passed down infirmity. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I decree that the 39 stripes that you took on your back shall be for a release of generational healing. Father, I decree that these infirmities shall not visit the next generation. I decree that there will be a healing, that there will be a breaking of the curse, that the cycle will be broken in the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. Lord, I lift it up to you now, and I decree that there will be a touch, there will be a move. There will be a healing. There will be a deliverance in the name of Jesus. I decree it now and I call it done. I decree that healing. I decree that anointing that destroys that physical legacy that is passed down through bloodlines. I bind it in Jesus' name and I decree the healing power. Lord, I thank you that bodies are being healed. That even babies who are still in the womb would ordinarily come out suffering, I decree that they are healed now and that they will be born healthy, and future generations shall come forth and there shall be no sign of the generational curse that has been in previous generations. I speak this into the realm of the spirit and I decree that there will be a release of that generational blessing now in the name of Jesus. I destroy physical legacies that have been a curse and I release the generational blessing of physical restoration in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.
Father, I love
you. Now, Lord, I lift up to you every spiritual legacy, every generational curse of spiritual legacy that has been passed down. I come against witchcraft. I come against sorcery. I come against those that have dealt with psychics and those who have worked with witchcraft. I bind the powers of hell that have tried to bring a curse in the mind, that have come against the image of self-esteem. I bind the hand of the enemy. I come against the legacy of every relative that has dealt with horoscopes, that has dealt with Ouija boards, that's dealt with any kind of unclean idolatry, and I bind it in the name of Jesus. I take authority over the spirit of fear. I take authority over the spirit of inadequacy. I take authority over the spirit of condemnation. And I decree that there will be a release now in the name of Jesus. Oh, that which I bind on earth is bound in heaven, and that which I loose in the earth is loosed in the heavens. I decree that there will be a release of the anointing in the realm of the Spirit. God, that your people will not be bound by the transgressions of previous generations. God, you said that even to the fourth generation under the old covenant, that the sins of the Father would be visited to that fourth generation. You declared that there would be no Moabite who could come into the house of the faithful for at least 10 generations. But Ruth rose up and she broke that curse, and she declared to Naomi, she said, listen, your God shall be my God and your people shall be my people. God, I decree now that whatever curses and whatever spiritual dysfunction, whatever spiritual legacies have negatively impacted your people from previous family members, I decree that that bondage is broken now. And I decree that there will be a liberty and a deliverance in the Holy Spirit. God, even those things that we were not aware of, God, relatives who dabbled in the occult, those who walked in mysticism, and even those who dabbled in spiritualism, God, I decree that there will be a breaking of those curses, that there will be a binding of unclean spiritual influences. I also come against territorial spirits that control areas and that cause people in certain areas to react in certain ways. I come against it now in the name of Jesus. I decree that no matter the territorial spirit, even as you sent Michael and you delivered unto him the message of power that Daniel received, that the prince of the angels that Michael would war with the prince of Grecia and then with the prince of Persia, I decree that there will be a deliverance from the power of territorial and controlling spirits. God, I decree in homes and marriages that there will be a deliverance now. God, spiritual dysfunction where homes and marriages are unequally yoked. God, where husbands and wives are not walking in the unity of the faith, I come against that spirit. I come against that inequality. God, I decree that there will be a healing and there will be a restoration in homes and families. Satan, you hear my voice. As a prophet of God, I have power over you, and I bind you. I curse you, and the blood of Jesus Christ is against you now. And I decree that there will be a breaking of spiritual influences. There will be a destruction of spiritual strongholds in the name of Jesus, that the actions of previous generations will not be allowed to keep us in spiritual bondage. I come against every unclean witchcraft, idolatrous influence, and I decree that there is deliverance now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I decree that that deliverance is complete and that the glory of your anointing is setting our spirits free. For your word says, he whom the Son makes free, surely he is free indeed. And now we give you the glory for spiritual legacies, for spiritual legacies being broken, for spiritual curses being broken. And now, Lord, I lift up to you even emotional legacies. God, some of us come from families where dysfunction is the norm. We come from families where arguing and lack of communication is standard procedure. But in the name that is above every name, I bind those spirits and I bind those influences. I decree to your people now that patterns of dysfunction, patterns of sexual dysfunction, even some have been molested as children and they've grown up with a distorted view of sexuality. They've grown up lacking trust. I come against those strongholds now, and I decree that those emotional legacies will not carry to the next generation, and that your people are being healed and delivered now. God, I give you the glory and I give you the praise that even now there is a release coming, even of hurtful memories, of traumatic incidences that have been seared in the memory, Oh, your word says you make all things new, and I decree now that there will be a release, that there will be a cleansing of the memory, and that the hurt and the pain and the tragedy of those moments will be washed away by the soothing balm of Gilead. But does not your word say that there is a balm in Gilead for the healing, for the breach of your people? And I decree that release now in the name of Jesus, that every social and emotional legacy will be broken. I come against patterns of dependency, drug addiction, those that are bound by alcohol, those that are bound by gambling, those that are bound by pornography and sexual perversion. I decree there is a deliverance. I decree that there is a release now, that the bondage is broken. Oh, again, your word declares that the yoke of bondage is destroyed because of the anointing. I give you the praise and I give you the glory that emotional legacies are being broken, that even now the freedom of your spirit, the glory of your anointing is breaking anxiety. It's breaking mindsets that have kept us in bondage. And I decree now that the majesty of your glory, that your power, that your anointing will surround us and flood our lives. Lord, I thank you that from generation to generation, your word is new, your word is fresh, and your tender mercies are fresh and new every morning. And I decree that the future generations, there shall be blessing. I come against even the emotional and family legacy of poverty and dysfunction in marriage, God, where there have been numerous marriages. I decree that that curse and that cycle is broken. I come against all dependencies, even to prescription medication. I come against it now. And I decree that there will be a deliverance, and I decree that there will be a liberty. God, some of us grew up in homes and families where people cursed and argued. There was never any affection, and now we've grown up with sexual problems, sexual frustrations, and we're unable to express ourselves sexually, even in our marriages, even with our spouse, because of that legacy that has been handed down emotionally. But I decree that this shall be a day of healing, that this shall be a day of deliverance, that this shall be a day of breakthrough, that the power of the enemy is broken now. God, we give you the glory, we give you the praise, and we just lift your name on high, because we know that the generational blessing is being released to your people now, that the glory of your anointing is touching their lives. God, they will look back as they listen to this again and again, and the anointing that is released now, the glory that is released now. Oh, God, I thank you. They're going to experience it over and over and over again, and I thank you now that even the joy of the Lord, that even the power of your Spirit is ministering to them now. And Lord, we lift your name. We magnify you now, and we give you the glory, because we know that the work is done in the heavens, and it's going to be manifested in the natural. God, we thank you that the bondages are broken. We thank you. Oh, we give you the glory. We give you the praise, and we release the generational blessing. We decree wholeness. We decree abundance. We decree healing. We decree prosperity. We decree gifts and callings shall be manifested in your people, that your name might be glorified, that the kingdom of God might go forth. Oh, I give you the praise. I give you the glory. I magnify you now, because you are the King of glory. You are the King of glory. And I say that there is none above you. You share your glory with none else. You truly are the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the fairest of 10,000. And we give you the glory. We give you the praise. And we call it done. Would you just rejoice with me now? Would you bask in that anointing? Just let the wave of glory sweep your soul. Oh, who can compare? There is none like him.
With the few of the Lord.
Don't you feel his presence right now? Can't you feel his anointing? Can't you feel that glory? Receive this blessing now, and know that generational blessing are upon you, upon your children, upon your children's children, and as many as the Lord thy God shall call. God bless you. I love you. In the name of Jesus, be blessed is my prayer.
Worship you.
Matthew 8, 1-3. And having come down from the mountain, great crowds followed Jesus. And behold, a leper, having come, fell upon his knees and touched the ground with his forehead in an expression of profound reverence before him, saying, Master, in the event that you may be having a heartfelt desire, I know you're able to cleanse me. And having stretched out his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I am desiring it with all my heart. Be cleansed at once. And immediately his leprosy was cured by being cleansed away. Healing is not just an afterthought for the Lord. He is desiring to heal you with all his heart. Today we're the same as this leper, saying, Lord, I know you can heal me if you want to, but do you really want to? He is wanting to heal you with all his heart. God wants to heal everyone, just as he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Father, you have said, listen closely to your words, not to let them out of my sight, not for a moment, to keep them within my heart, because they are life when I find them and health to my whole body. This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. You will bring me health and cure, and will cure me, and will reveal unto me the abundance of peace and truth. Is not your word like a fire, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? The word of God is an all-consuming fire that will melt away and burn off that which is not of God. It is a powerful, crushing force to break apart even the toughest and most stubborn sickness. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for you will yet praise him who is the health of your countenance and your God. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. He will make an utter end of the sickness. Now this is the confidence that I have in him, that if I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, whatever I ask, I know that I have the petitions that I've asked of him. I can declare a thing, and it will be established for me, and light will shine on my path. My Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth and in my life and in my body as it is in heaven. I declare that in all respects, I will prosper and be in health, just as my soul prospers. I will not die, but live to declare the works of the Lord. Lord, strengthen the hands that hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for my feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. Father, you did not spare your own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall you not freely with him give me all things? Lord, if you are with me, who can be against me? You do not change. Therefore, I am not consumed. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm not going to fear because I know you are with me. I'm not dismayed, for I know you're my God and that you will strengthen me. Yes, you will help me and uphold me with the right hand of your righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to my mortal body through his spirit who dwells in me. Lord, you take away all my sickness and will not afflict me with any of the terrible diseases of Egypt, which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate me. If I diligently heed the voice of the Lord my God, and do what is right in his sight, and I give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, you will put none of the diseases on me which were brought on the Egyptians. For you are the Lord who heals me. You will restore health to me and heal all my wounds. You forgive all my iniquities and you heal all my diseases. My light shall break forth like the morning. My healing shall spring forth speedily. My righteousness shall go before me. The glory of the Lord shall be my rear guard. God, you are not a man that you should lie, nor the son of man that you should repent. Have you not said, and will you not do? Or have you spoken, and will you not make it good? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. I shall not want for healing. O Lord, my God, I've cried out to you, and you healed me. Lord, you will strengthen me on my bed of illness. You will sustain me on my sick bed. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Lord, you deliver me out of them all. If I then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to my children, how much more will my heavenly Father, who is in heaven, give good things to me because I ask him? Surely you have borne my griefs and carried my sorrows. Yet I esteemed you stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon you. And by your stripes, I was healed. Let it be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. He himself bore my sins in his body on the tree, that I, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes I was healed. Because I know your name, I will put my trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken me when I seek you. I will not forget your law, and my heart will keep your commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to me. Because I wait on the Lord, I will renew my strength. I will mount up with wings like eagles. I will run and not be weary, and I will walk and not faint. To those who fear your name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and I shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Lord, you have highly exalted Jesus and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of those on the earth, and of those under the earth. And in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Jesus, I believe. I thank you that all things are possible for me. I have faith in you, my God. Because I have faith, whatever things I ask when I pray, believing, I will receive them. I will not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but I will be strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he has promised, he is also able to perform. Lord, you are able. Because I am born of God, I overcome the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. My faith. I am of God and have overcome because he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. For it is God who works in me, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Therefore, I submit to you, God. I resist the devil, and he will flee from me. Devil, I command you to go from me in the name of Jesus. I command all sickness and infirmity to go from me in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I abide in you, and your words abide in me. Therefore, I can ask whatever I desire, and it shall be done for me. I hold fast the confession of my hope without wavering, for you have promised, and Lord, you are faithful. Jesus, you said, have faith in God, that I can speak to the mountain and speak to this sickness and say, be removed, be cast into the sea. I do not doubt in my heart, but I believe that the things that I say will be done and that I will have whatever I say. I bless you, Lord, with all my soul. I forget not any of your benefits. I thank you that you forgive all my iniquities, that you heal all my diseases, that you have redeemed my life from destruction. You crown my life with loving kindness and tender mercies. You satisfy my mouth with every good thing, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. Jesus carried my sickness and infirmities, and I cast out all spirits of infirmity that would attach to my body in the name of Jesus. I break all curses of premature death and destruction in the name of Jesus. I command every part of my body to function the way God intended it. My bones are fat because they receive the good report of the gospel. and I release the fire of God to burn out any sickness or disease that would operate in my body in the name of Jesus. For the Lord is the strength of my life, and Jesus Christ makes me whole. I am redeemed from sickness and disease. May the Lord Jesus Christ arise over my life with healing in his wings. The blood of Jesus bears witness with my deliverance, my healing, and my salvation. I receive the benefits of the new covenant through the blood of Jesus. I receive healing and health through the blood of Jesus. Jesus resisted unto blood, and his blood gives me the victory. And by his stripes, I was healed. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Disease, lung disease, cholera, rheumatic disease, tuberculosis, strep throat, malaria, leprosy, digestive disorders, intestinal disorders, fibrocystic breast disease, childbearing difficulties, toxic shock syndrome, hepatitis, measles, chickenpox, bronchitis, emphysema, osteoporosis, Parkinson's disease, gallbladder disease, influenza, encephalitis, smallpox, dysentery, thrombosis, angina, mumps, hypoglycemia, diabetes, brain and neurological disorders, rabies, rubella, kidney and bladder disease, liver disease, pancreatic disease, lupus, bone and joint disease, plague, whooping cough, endometriosis, progeria, tumor, glandular disorders, Lyme disease, Crohn's disease, hypertension, parasites, viruses, cerebral palsy, multiple sclerosis, mental illness, ulcers, Alzheimer's, blood disease, depression, TMS, malnutrition, malaria, rickets, scurvy, back pain, bursitis, tetanus, colitis, bacterial disease, inflammation, genetic adverse effects, cystic fibrosis, migraine, burns, muscle and skin disease, gynecological disorder, gum disease, Hodgkin's disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, colitis, epidemic, anemia, allergies, fever, headache, SIDS, arthritis, psoriasis, leukemia, all persons, cancer, all infections, all addictions, all injuries, AIDS, sexually transmitted disease, pneumonia, cirrhosis, bacterial meningitis, muscular dystrophy, blindness and eye disease, poisoning, spider and serpent bite, and scorpion sting. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jesus took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He was wounded.
I'm
If I had the words to tell you exactly how I feel, then I could fill a million pages with all you've done for me. And if I treat each memory and thought all my dreams cover to cover you, see you
amazing worship, and we want to thank Shannon and her team.
lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just test somebody, look them in the face, and tell them I'm in his hands.
For he will go by. And the day when I feel I'm alive. Jesus is my Lord. God raised him from the dead. He was my substitute. He is my Savior. Satan has no power over me. Jesus is my Lord. I serve the one whose name is. I am the Lord who heals you. Jesus is the healer. Satan is the oppressor. For Acts 10 and 38 says, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus came that I may have life and have it in its fullness. God desires that I prosper and be in health. My God is supplying all I need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. God says in his word in Joel 3 and 10, let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong in the Lord. God says in his word in Isaiah 33 and 24, the inhabitant will not say, I am sick. Therefore, I will not say it. I will say what God has said in his word. By his wounds, I have been healed. 1 Peter 2:24. Jesus says in Mark 11:23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, mountain of sickness, be removed from me and be cast into the sea. You have to, because I command it in the authority of Jesus' name. According to Jesus, since I do not doubt in my heart, but I believe those things I say will come to pass, I will have what I say. Therefore, by faith, I will say these confessions. Hebrews 3:1-4:14 say Jesus is the high priest of my confession, so I will only speak words that I desire Jesus to say about me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Therefore, I will speak words of life. Jesus says in John 6:63 that his words are life, so I will speak them. Proverbs 18:21. When I speak God's word, I am planting good seed in my life. Luke 8:11. I will hold fast to the confession of God's word without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. I do not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but I am fully convinced that what he has promised, he is also able to perform. I am not weak in faith, so I do not consider my own body above what God has said. I do not put my confidence in flesh. I am not moved by what I feel. I am not moved by what I see. For I walk by faith, not by sight. I am moved only by what I believe. I believe the word of God. Father, your word is truth. I will give attention to God's words. I will incline my ear to his sayings. I will not let them depart from my eyes. I will keep them in my heart. They are life to me, for I have found them, and they are my health, healing, and medicine to all my flesh. Pleasant words are health, healing, and medicine to my bones. God's word of grace builds me up and gives me my inheritance. Jesus says, if I continue in his word, I will know the truth, and the truth will make me free. I have been called to freedom. Because I am Christ's, I am a child of Abraham. And according to Jesus in Luke 13:16, I ought to be loosed from all bondage today. Because God shows no partiality. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, and all things are of God. I am complete in Jesus, who is the head of all rule and authority. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in me, and I am not my own. I am bought at a price, so I will glorify God in my body and in my spirit. I present my body to God as a living sacrifice. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, no sickness, illness, virus, or disease can stay in my body. Every disease, germ, and virus that touches my body dies instantly. Every cell, organ, member, and system of my body functions perfectly, and I forbid any malfunction in the supreme authority of the name of Jesus. I am a believer. All things are possible to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Lord is the strength of my life. I am strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. My Father has made me able to be a partaker of my inheritance. He has delivered me from the authority of darkness and has translated me into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom I have my redemption through his blood. I am an overcomer, and I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I am submitted to God by being submitted to his word, and the devil flees from me because I resist him in the supreme authority of the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, for my righteousness is of the Lord. There shall nothing evil happen to me, neither shall any plague or sickness come near me. Jesus gave me authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt me. I do not return evil for evil, but on the contrary, blessings, that I may obtain a blessing. I forgive others freely as God has forgiven me. I don't hold anything against anyone. I refrain my tongue from evil. I turn away from evil and do good. I seek peace and pursue it. So I will love life and see good days. I have a merry heart, and that does me good like medicine. I have cast all my cares on the Lord, for he cares for me. I refuse to worry about anything. I serve the Lord my God, and he blesses my bread and my water, and he has taken sickness away from me. For Jesus himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses away. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely he has borne my sicknesses and carried my pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Christ, my Passover, was sacrificed for me. So all sickness and death has to pass over me and my household. I am blessed above all people. The Lord has taken away from me all sickness. God sent his word and healed me and delivered me from destruction. The number of my days God will fulfill. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And 90.